Brand. A light snow was falling. Brand could feel the flakes on his face melting as they touched his skin like the gentlest of rains. He sat straight atop his horse, watching as the iron portcullis was winched upward. Try as he might to keep calm, his heart was fluttering in his chest. "Are you ready?" Rob asked. Bran nodded, trying not to let his fear show. He had not been outside Winterfell since his fall, but he was determined to ride out as proud as any knight. "Let's ride, then." Rob put his heels into his big gray and white gelding, and the horse walked under the portcullis.
"Go,"
Bran whispered to his own horse. He touched her neck lightly, and the small chestnut filly started forward. Bran had named her Dancer. She was 2 years old, and Joseph said she was smarter than any horse had a right to be. They had trained her special, to respond to rein and voice and touch. Up to now, Bran had only ridden her around the yard. At first, Joseph or Hodor would lead her, while Bran sat strapped to her back in the oversized saddle the imp had drawn up for him. But for the past fortnight, he had been riding her on his own, trotting her round and round and growing bolder with every circuit. They passed beneath the gatehouse, over the drawbridge, through the outer walls. Summer and Grey Wind came loping beside them, sniffing at the wind. Close behind came Theon Greyjoy, with his long bow and a quiver of broadheads. He had a mind to take a deer, he had told them. He was followed by four guardsmen in mailed shirts and coifs, and Joseph, a stick-thin stableman whom Rob had named Master of Horse while Hullin was away. Maester Lewin brought up the rear, riding on a donkey. Bran would have liked it better if he and Rob had gone off alone, just the two of them, but Hal Mollin would not hear of it, and Maester Lewin backed him. If Bran fell off his horse or injured himself, the maester was determined to be with him. Beyond the castle lay the market square, its wooden stalls deserted now. They rode down the muddy streets of the village, past rows of small, neat houses of log and undressed stone. Less than one in five were occupied, thin tendrils of wood smoke curling up from their chimneys. The rest would fill up one by one as it grew colder. When the snow fell and the ice winds howled down out of the north, old Nan said, farmers left their frozen fields and distant holdfasts, loaded up their wagons, and then the winter town came alive. Bran had never seen it happen, but Maester Lewin said the day was looming closer. The end of a long summer was near at hand. Winter is coming. A few villagers eyed the dire wolves anxiously as the riders went past, and one man dropped the wood he was carrying as he shrank away in fear. But most of the town folk had grown used to the sight. They bent the knee when they saw the boys, and Rob greeted each of them with a lordly nod. With his legs unable to grip, the swaying motion of the horse made Bran feel unsteady at first, but the huge saddle with its thick horn and high back cradled him comfortingly, and the straps around his chest and thighs would not allow him to fall. After a time, the rhythm began to feel almost natural. His anxiety faded, and a tremulous smile crept across his face. Two serving wenches stood beneath the sign of the Smoking Log, the local alehouse. When Theon Greyjoy called out to them, the younger girl turned red and covered her face. Theon spurred his mount to move up beside Rob. "Sweet Kira," he said with a laugh. "She squirms like a weasel in bed, but say a word to her on the street, and she blushes pink as a maid. Did I ever tell you about the night that she and Bessa—" "Not where my brother can hear, Theon," Rob warned him with a glance at Bran. Bran looked away and pretended not to have heard, but he could feel Greyjoy's eyes on him. No doubt he was smiling. He smiled a lot, as if the world were a secret joke that only he was clever enough to understand. Rob seemed to admire Theon and enjoy his company, but Bran had never warmed to his father's ward. Rob rode closer. "You're doing well, Bran."
"I want to go faster," Bran replied.
Rob smiled. "As you will." He sent his gelding into a trot. The wolves raced after him. Bran snapped the reins sharply, and Dancer picked up her pace. He heard a shout from Theon Greyjoy and the hoofbeats of the other horses behind him. Bran's cloak billowed out, rippling in the wind, and the snow seemed to rush at his face. Rob was well ahead, glancing back over his shoulder from time to time to make sure Bran and the others were following. He snapped the reins again. Smooth as silk, Dancer slid into a gallop. The distance closed. By the time he caught Rob on the edge of the Wolfswood, 2 miles beyond the Winter Town, they had left the others well behind.
"I can ride!"
Bran shouted, grinning. It felt almost as good as flying.
"I'd race you, but I fear you'd win."
Rob's tone was light and joking, yet Bran could tell that something was troubling his brother underneath the smile.
"I don't want to race."
Bran looked around for the direwolves. Both had vanished into the wood.
"Did you hear Summer howling last night?"
"Greywind was restless, too," Rob said. His auburn hair had grown shaggy and unkempt, and a reddish stubble covered his jaw, making him look older than his 15 years. "Sometimes I think they know things, sense things." Rob sighed. "I never know how much to tell you, Bran. I wish you were older."
"I'm 8 now," Bran said. 8 isn't so much younger than 15, and I'm the heir to Winterfell after you."
"So you are." Rob sounded sad, and even a little scared. "Bran, I need to tell you something. There was a bird last night, from King's Landing. Maester Lewin woke me." Bran felt a sudden dread. Dark wings, dark words, old Nan always said, and of late the messenger ravens had been proving the truth of the proverb. When Rob wrote to the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch, the bird that came back brought word that Uncle Benjen was still missing. Then a message had arrived from the Eyrie, from Mother, but that had not been good news either. She did not say when she meant to return, only that she had taken the imp as prisoner. Bran had sort of liked the little man, yet the name Lannister sent cold fingers creeping up his spine. There was something about the Lannisters, something he ought to remember, but when he tried to think what, he felt dizzy and his stomach clenched hard as a stone. Rob spent most of that day locked behind closed doors with Maester Lewin, Theon Greyjoy, and Halas Mullen. Afterward, riders were sent out on fast horses, carrying Rob's commands throughout the north. Bran heard talk of Moat Cailin, the ancient stronghold the first men had built to the top of the neck. No one ever told him what was happening, yet he knew it was not good. And now another raven, another message. Bran clung to hope.
"Was the bird for Mother? Is she coming home?"
"The message was from Allen in King's Landing. Jory Castle is dead, and Will and Heward as well. Murdered by the Kingslayer." Rob lifted his face to the snow, and the flakes melted on his cheeks. "May the gods give them rest." Bran did not know what to say. He felt as if he'd been punched. Jory had been captain of the household guard at Winterfell since before Bran was born.
"They killed Jory?"
He remembered all the times Jory had chased him over the roofs. He could picture him striding across the yard in mail and plate, or sitting at his accustomed place on the bench in the great hall, joking as he ate.
"Why would anyone kill Jory?"
Rob shook his head numbly, the pain plain in his eyes.
"I don't know, and, Bran, that's not the worst of it. Father was caught beneath a falling horse in the fight. Allen says his leg was shattered, and Maester Pascal has given him the milk of the poppy, but they aren't sure when. Winnie..." The sound of hoofbeats made him glance down the road to where Theon and the others were coming up. "When he will wake," Rob finished. He laid his hand on the pommel of his sword then, and went on in the solemn voice of Rob the Lord. "Bran, I promise you, whatever might happen, I will not let this be forgotten." Something in his tone made Bran even more fearful.
"What will you do?"
he asked as Theon Greyjoy reined in beside them. "Theon thinks I should call the banners," Rob said.
Blood for blood.
For once, Greyjoy did not smile. His lean, dark face had a hungry look to it, and black hair fell down across his eyes.
Only the Lord can call the banners,
Bran said as the snow drifted down around them.
If your father dies,
Theon said, Rob will be Lord of Winterfell.
He won't die,
Bran screamed at him. Rob took his hand.
He won't die, not father,
he said calmly. Still, the honor of the North is in my hands now. When our Lord Father took his leave of us, he told me to be strong for you and for Rickon. I'm almost a man grown, Bran. Bran shivered.
I wish Mother was back,
he said miserably. He looked around for Maester Lewin. His donkey was visible in the far distance, trotting over a rise.
Does Maester Lewin say to call the banners too?
The Maester is timid as an old woman, said Theon.
Father always listened to his counsel,
Bran reminded his brother.
Mother too.
I listened to him, Rob insisted. I listened to everyone.
The joy Bran had felt of the ride was gone, melted away like the snowflakes on his face. Not so long ago, the thought of Rob calling the banners and riding off to war would have filled him with excitement. But now he felt only dread.
Can we go back now?
He asked.
I'm cold.
Rob glanced around.
We need to find the wolves. Can you stand to go a bit longer?
I can go as long as you can.
Maester Lewin had warned him to keep the ride short for fear of saddle sores, but Bran would not admit to weakness in front of his brother. He was sick of the way everyone was always fussing over him and asking how he was.
Let's hunt down the hunters, then, Rob said. Side by side, they urged their mounts off the King's Road and struck out into the Wolf's Wood.
Theon dropped back and followed well behind them, talking and joking with the guardsmen. It was nice under the trees. Bran kept Dancer to a walk, holding the reins lightly and looking all around him as they went. He knew this wood, but he had been so long confined to Winterfell that he felt as though he were seeing it for the first time. The smells filled his nostrils, the sharp, fresh tang of pine needles, the earthy odor of wet, rotting leaves, the hints of animal musk and distant cooking fires. He caught a glimpse of a black squirrel moving through the snow-covered branches of an oak, and paused to study the silvery web of an empress spider. Theon and the others fell farther and farther behind until Bran could no longer hear their voices. From ahead came the faint sound of rushing waters. It grew louder until they reached the stream. Tears stung his eyes.
Bran?
Rob asked.
What's wrong?
Bran shook his head.
I was just remembering, he said. Jory brought us here once to fish for trout. You and me and John. Do you remember?
I remember, Rob said, his voice quiet and sad.
I didn't catch anything, Bran said, but John gave me his fish on the way back to Winterfell. Will we ever see John again?
We saw Uncle Benjen when the king came to visit, Rob pointed out.
John will visit, too, you'll see.
The stream was running high and fast. Rob dismounted and led his gelding across the ford. In the deepest part of the crossing, the water came up to mid-thigh. He tied his horse to a tree on the far side and waded back across for Bran and Dancer. The current foamed around rock and root, and Bran could feel the spray on his face as Rob led him over. It made him smile. For a moment, he felt strong again and whole. He looked up at the trees and dreamed of climbing them, right up to the very top, with a whole forest spread out beneath him. They were on the far side when they heard the howl, a long, rising wail that moved through the trees like a cold wind. Bran raised his head to listen.
Summer, he said.
No sooner had he spoken than a second voice joined the first.
They've made a kill, Rob said as he remounted. I'd best go and bring them back.
Wait here. Theon and the others should be along shortly.
I want to go with you,
Bran said.
I'll find them faster by myself.
Rob spurred his gelding and vanished into the trees. Once he was gone, the woods seemed to close in around Bran. The snow was falling more heavily now. Where it touched the ground, it melted, but
All about him, rock and root and branch, wore a thin blanket of white. As he waited, he was conscious of how uncomfortable he felt. He could not feel his legs, hanging useless in the stirrups, but the strap around his chest was tight and chafing, and the melting snow had soaked through his gloves to chill his hands. He wondered what was keeping Theon and Maester Lewin and Joseph and the rest. When he heard the rustle of leaves, Bran used the reins to make Dancer turn, expecting to see his friends. But the ragged men who stepped out onto the bank of the stream were strangers.
"Good day to you," he said nervously.
One look, and Bran knew they were neither foresters nor farmers. He was suddenly conscious of how richly he was dressed. His surcoat was new, dark gray wool with silver buttons, and a heavy silver pin fastened his fur-trimmed cloak at the shoulders. His boots and gloves were lined with fur as well.
"All alone, are you?"
said the biggest of them, a bald man with a raw, wind-burnt face.
"Lost in the wolf's wood, poor lad."
"I'm not lost."
Bran did not like the way the strangers were looking at him. He counted four, but when he turned his head, he saw two others behind him.
"My brother rode off just a moment ago, and my guard will be here shortly."
"Your guard, is it?"
a second man said. Gray stubble covered his gaunt face.
"And what would they be guarding, my little lord? Is that a silver pin I see there on your cloak?"
"Pretty,"
said a woman's voice. She scarcely looked like a woman, tall and lean, with the same hard face as the others, her hair hidden beneath a bowl-shaped half-helm. The spear she held was 8 feet of black oak, tipped in rusted steel.
"Let's have a look," said the big, bald man.
Bran watched him anxiously. The man's clothes were filthy, fallen almost to pieces, patched here with brown and here with blue and there with a dark green, and faded everywhere to gray. But once that cloak might have been black. The gray, stubbly man wore black rags, too, he saw with a sudden start. Suddenly, Bran remembered the oathbreaker his father had beheaded the day they had found the wolf pups. That man had worn black as well. And father said he had been a deserter from the night's watch. No man is more dangerous, he remembered Lord Eddard saying. The deserter knows his life is forfeit if he is taken, so he will not flinch from any crime, no matter how vile or cruel.
"A pin, lad,"
the big man said. He held out his hand.
"We'll take the horse, too,"
said another of them, a woman shorter than Rob, with a broad, flat face and lank yellow hair.
"Get down and be quick about it."
A knife slid from her sleeve into her hand, its edge jagged as a saw.
"No," Bran blurted. "I can't."
The big man grabbed his reins before Bran could think to wheel Dancer around and gallop off.
"You can, lordling. And well, if you know what's good for you."
"Stev, look how he's strapped on."
The tall woman pointed with her spear.
"Might be it's the truth he's telling."
"Straps, is it?"
Stiv said. He drew a dagger from a sheath at his belt.
"There's ways to deal with straps."
"You some kind of cripple?"
asked the short woman. Bran flared.
"I'm Brandon Stark of Winterfell, and you better let go of my horse, or I'll see you all dead."
The gaunt man with the gray, stubbled face laughed.
"The boy's a Stark, true enough. Only a Stark would be fool enough to threaten where smarter men would beg."
"Cut his little cock off and stuff it in his mouth,"
suggested the short woman.
"That should shut him up." "You're as stupid as you are ugly, Holly," said the tall woman. "The boy's worth nothing dead, but alive. Gods be damned, think what Mance would give to have Benjen Stark's own blood to hostage."
"Mance be damned," the big man cursed. "You want to go back there, Osha? More fool you. Think the White Walkers will care if you have a hostage?"
He turned back to Bran and slashed at the strap around his thigh. The leather parted with a sigh. The stroke had been quick and careless, biting deep. Looking down, Bran glimpsed pale flesh where the wool of his leggings had parted. Then the blood began to flow. He watched the red stain spread, feeling lightheaded, curiously apart. There had been no pain, not even a hint of feeling. The big man grunted in surprise.
"Put down your steel now, and I promise you shall have a quick and painless death,"
Rob called out.
Bran looked up in desperate hope, and there he was.
The strength of the words were undercut by the way his voice cracked with strain. He was mounted, the bloody carcass of an elk slung across the back of his horse, his sword in a gloved hand.
"Now, brother," said the man with the gray, stubbly face.
"He's a fierce one, he is,"
mocked the short woman, Holly, they called her.
"You mean to fight us, boy?" "Don't be a fool, lad. You're one against six."
The tall woman, Osha, leveled her spear.
"Off the horse and throw down the sword. We'll thank you kindly for the mount and for the venison, and you and your brother can be on your way."
Rob whistled. They heard the faint sound of soft feet on wet leaves. The undergrowth parted, low-hanging branches giving up their accumulation of snow, and gray wind and summer emerged from the green. Summer sniffed the air and growled.
"Wolves,"
gasped Holly.
"Dire wolves," Bran said.
Still half-grown, they were as large as any wolf he had ever seen, but the differences were easy to spot, if you knew what to look for. Maester Lewin and Farlin, the kennelmaster, had taught him. A dire wolf had a bigger head and longer legs in proportion to its body, and its snout and jaw were markedly leaner and more pronounced. There was something gaunt and terrible about them as they stood there amid the gently falling snow. Fresh blood spotted Greywind's muzzle.
"Dogs!"
the big bald man said contemptuously.
"Yet I'm told there's nothing like a wolfskin cloak to warm a man by night."
He made a sharp gesture.
"Take them!"
Rob shouted,
"Winterfell!"
and kicked his horse. The gelding plunged down the bank as the ragged men closed. A man with an axe rushed in, shouting and heedless. Rob's sword caught him full in the face with a sickening crunch and a spray of bright blood. The man with the gaunt, stubbly face made a grab for the reins, and for half a second he had them. And then Grey Wind was on him, bearing him down. He fell back into the stream with a splash and a shout, flailing wildly with his knife as his head went under. The dire wolf plunged in after him, and the white water turned red where they had vanished. Rob and Osha matched blows in midstream. Her long spear was a steel-headed serpent, flashing out at his chest, once, twice, three times. But Rob parried every thrust with his longsword, turning the point aside. On the fourth or fifth thrust, the tall woman overextended herself and lost her balance just for a second. Rob charged, riding her down. A few feet away, Summer darted in and snapped at Holly. The knife bit at his flank. Summer slid away, snarling, and came rushing in again. This time his jaws closed around her calf. Holding the knife with both hands, the small woman stabbed down, but the dire wolf seemed to sense the blade coming. He pulled free for an instant, his mouth full of leather and cloth and bloody flesh. When Holly stumbled and fell, he came at her again, slamming her backward, teeth tearing at her belly. The sixth man ran from the carnage, but not far. As he went scrambling up the far side of the bank, Grey Wind emerged from the stream, dripping wet. He shook the water off and bounded after the running man, hamstringing him with a single snap of his teeth, and going for the throat as the screaming man slid back down toward the water. And then there was no one left but the big man Stiv. He slashed at Bran's chest strap, grabbed his arm, and yanked. Suddenly Bran was falling. He sprawled on the ground, his legs tangled under him, one foot in the stream. He could not feel the cold of the water, but he felt the steel when Stiv pressed his dagger to his throat.
"Back away," the man warned, "or I'll open the boy's windpipe, I swear it."
Rob reined his horse in, breathing hard. The fury went out of his eyes, and his sword arm dropped. In that moment, Bran saw everything. Summer was savaging Holly, pulling glistening blue snakes from her belly. Her eyes were wide and staring. Bran could not tell whether she was alive or dead. The gray, stubbly man and the one with the axe lay unmoving, but Osha was on her knees, crawling toward her fallen spear. Grey Wind padded toward her, dripping wet.
"Call them off!" the big man shouted. "Call them both off, or the cripple boy dies now!"
"Grey Wind, Summer, to me,"
Rob said. The dire wolves stopped, turned their heads. Grey Wind loped back to Rob. Summer stayed where he was, his eyes on Bran and the man beside him. He growled. His muzzle was wet and red, but his eyes burned. Osha used the butt end of her spear to lever herself back to her feet. Blood leaked from a wound on the upper arm where Rob had cut her. Bran could see sweat trickling down the big man's face. Stiv was as scared as he was, he realized.
"Starks," the man muttered. "Bloody Starks."
He raised his voice.
Osha, kill the wolves and get his sword.
Kill them yourself, she replied. I'll not be getting near those monsters.
For a moment, Stiv was at a loss. His hand trembled. Bran felt a trickle of blood where the knife pressed against his neck. The stench of the man filled his nose. He smelled of fear.
You, he called out to Rob. You have a name?
I am Rob Stark, the heir to Winterfell.
This is your brother?
Yes.
You want him alive, you do what I say. Off the horse.
Rob hesitated a moment. Then, slowly and deliberately, he dismounted and stood with the sword in hand.
Now kill the wolves.
Rob did not move.
You do it. The wolves or the boy?
No!
Bran screamed. If Rob did as they asked, Stiv would kill them both anyway, once the dire wolves were dead. The bald man took hold of his hair with his free hand and twisted it cruelly till Bran sobbed in pain.
You shut your mouth, cripple, you hear me?
He twisted harder.
You hear me?
A low thrum came from the woods behind them. Stiv gave a choked gasp as a half-foot of razor-tipped broadhead suddenly exploded out of his chest. The arrow was bright red, as if it had been painted in blood. The dagger fell away from Bran's throat. The big man swayed and collapsed face down in the stream. The arrow broke beneath him. Bran watched his life go swirling off in the water. Osha glanced around as Father's guardsmen appeared from beneath the trees, steel in hand. She threw down her spear.
Mercy, my lord,
she called to Rob. The guardsmen had a strange, pale look to their faces as they took in the scene of slaughter. They eyed the wolves uncertainly, and when Summer returned to Holly's corpse to feed, Joseph dropped his knife and scrambled for the bush, heaving. Even Maester Lewin seemed shocked as he stepped from behind a tree, but only for an instant. Then he shook his head and waded across the stream to Bran's side.
Are you hurt? He cut my leg, Bran said, but I couldn't feel it.
As the maester knelt to examine the wound, Bran turned his head. Theon Greyjoy stood beside a sentinel tree, his bow in hand. He was smiling. Ever smiling. A half dozen arrows were thrust into the soft ground at his feet, but it had taken only one.
A dead enemy is a thing of beauty, he announced.
John always said you were an ass, Greyjoy, Rob said loudly. I ought to chain you up in the yard and let Bran take a few practice shots at you.
You should be thanking me for saving your brother's life.
What if you had missed the shot? Rob said. What if you'd only wounded him? What if you had made his hand jump or hit Bran instead? For all you knew, the man might have been wearing a breastplate. All you could see was the back of his cloak. What would have happened to my brother then? Did you ever think of that, Greyjoy? Theon's smile was gone. He gave a sullen shrug and began to pull his arrows from the ground, one by one. Rob glared at his guardsmen.
Where were you?
He demanded of them.
I was sure you were close behind us.
The men traded unhappy glances.
We were following, my lord,
said Quent, the youngest of them, his beard a soft brown fuzz. Only first we waited for Maester Lewin and his ass, begging your pardons, and then, well, as it were... He glanced over at Theon and quickly looked away, abashed.
I spied a turkey,
Theon said, annoyed by the question. How was I to know that you'd leave the boy alone? Rob turned his head to look at Theon once more. Bran had never seen him so angry, yet he said nothing. Finally, he knelt beside Maester Lewin.
How badly is my brother wounded?
No more than a scratch, the maester said.
He wet a cloth in the stream to clean the cut.
Two of them wear the black, he told Rob as he worked.
Rob glanced over at where Stiv lay sprawled in the stream, his ragged black cloak moving fitfully as the rushing waters tugged at it.
Deserters from the Night's Watch,
he said grimly. They must have been fools to come so close to Winterfell.
Folly and desperation are oft times hard to tell apart, said Maester Lewin.
Shall we bury them, my lord?
Asked Quent.
They would not have buried us, Rob said.
Hack off their heads. We'll send them back to the wall. Leave the rest for the carrion crows.
And this one?
Quent jerked a thumb toward Osha. Rob walked over to her. She was a head taller than he was, but she dropped to her knees at his approach.
Give me my life, my lord of Stark, and I am yours.
Mine? What would I do with an oath-breaker?
I broke no oaths,
Stirvin Wallen flew down off the wall, not me. The Black Crow's got no place for women.
Theon Greyjoy sauntered closer. Give her to the wolves, he urged Rob. The woman's eyes went to what was left of Holly, and just as quickly away. She shuddered. Even the guardsman looked queasy.
She's a woman, Rob said.
A wildling, Bran told him. She said they should keep me alive so they could take me to Mance Raider.
Do you have a name? Rob asked her.
Osha, as it please the Lord, she muttered sourly.
Maester Lewin stood.
We might do well to question her.
Bran could see the relief on his brother's face.
As you say, Maester. Wayne, bind her hands. She'll come back to Winterfell with us,
and live or die by the truths she gives us.